Thank you. I do accept your applause. How are you all? That's good. Did you say good evening, Peter? Oh, all right. Super polite if you said good evening, Peter. I haven't heard that for a while. I don't think I've ever heard that. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for tonight, Father. I want to thank you that you've already begun to do some great things in our hearts. God, you're already opening people up, that you're opening myself up, Lord, to hear from you tonight. And just pray that you just bless this word and just that you would use it anywhere that you want to. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Go out your Bibles. Go out your phones. Colin's got a Bible. He's probably the only one. A bit old school. Oh, Denise, right at the back. Good on you. Tonight I want to talk about not being a grasshopper. How's that sound? Sounds pretty good. Andy said I could talk about whatever I wanted. So I went, hey, I was looking up some stuff about grasshoppers. Don't be a grasshopper. Pretty good word, I think. Particularly tonight, we're going to read from Numbers 13. And it's the story of when the Israelites get to the border of Canaan and God says, it's yours, go for it. And it's a great story. You should look it up, Numbers 13. Very good story. Particularly tonight, we're going to look at the 10 spies or the 12 spies that went across and the different reactions. And really tonight's about not really believing or not going after comparisons. Don't compare yourself. Don't just listen to the bad reports. That's really what we're speaking about tonight. So look, we're going to pick it up from Numbers 13, 26 to 33. Are we all ready? All righty, let's go. So you should read the Bible, just a bit of that. Hold on to your hats. Can I read your Bible? Do you have it open? Yeah, you've got to open it for me. We're going to get ready. All right. Come on. All right. Numbers 13, 26. They came back to Moses. This is the spies just after they've gone out. And this is what it says. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. You know exactly where that is, so I'm not even going to expand on it. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. Hey, Moses, what's up? We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Here's its fruit. But, I love big buts. Cannot lie. The brothers can't deny. But the people who live there. Oh, that should not have happened. Right? That shouldn't have happened. But anyway, Andrew's away. He said I could preach about whatever I want to preach about. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. I deserve some respect for being able to get that out. And the Canaanites lived near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, shut up. Is Bailey here? Is he at the back? Uh-oh. I usually smack him on the bum. I do not. All right. Keep going, Pete. Verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. That's a pretty harsh thing. All the people we saw there are of great size. Yeah, they are. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. You guys are going to love tonight, right? We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Don't be a grasshopper. Good. Great. Don't be a grasshopper. You know, there was 10 spies who brought a bad report. They brought comparisons, bad news. There was only 2 that brought good news. I find that incredibly amazing. So what we're going to look at first, I want to just run through what the 10 spies saw and how it affected them. The guys that brought the bad report. Number one, it made them insecure. Numbers 13:33 says, "We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." So here they are. God's given them the promise. They've gone across into the land of Canaan, and they've looked it out, and they said, "Hey, it does actually have milk and honey. This is, I don't know why, milk and honey. Maybe someone could fill me in later on why. Just because it's awesome. Milk and honey together is not awesome. But anyway, it's flowing milky honey. There's a good report, but it's not for us. It's too hard to get. We're not in it." It made them insecure. They saw the big guys across the street and went, "Oh, I haven't worked out recently. I don't think I can do that. I work out every day. I do kind of." Anyway, where am I going with this, Lise? Jeez, anyway. It made them insecure. They got the bad report. They saw what was huge and this massive obstacle, and they went, "I can't do it." Have you ever had an obstacle in your life or something that you've come against and you've just gone, "Wow, that's big. I can't do that. That's well and truly outside my comfort zone. I can't do that." You know, I'll just be honest with you, because we're just talking as friends, right? Right? Who's been to my house? A few people have been to my house. Yeah, you have, Alex. Yeah, me. All right. A few people have been to our house. I'm going to say our house isn't the most widely, like, beautifully decorated place in the world, right? I'll be honest with you. Just, come on. I have a $10 lounge in the lounge room that I got for $5 from Solvos. Thank you. I've got a futon sitting right next to that $10 lounge that we got for free. In fact, I can't think of one thing in our house that we actually owned, that we actually bought, besides a TV. Because that's important. You've got to have a TV in your house. And sometimes I walk into other people's houses and I go, "My gosh, we're poor." No. I go, "My gosh, there's a lot of stuff here." And people have a lot of stuff. Anyway, if you want to see how our lack of stuff, please come over. And man, it is hard sometimes walking to someone's house and they've got the big screen TV and the really nice lounge that they're paid like a couple grand for or whatever. People have, you know, a nice rug on the ground that isn't like a little PVC garbage thing, you know, and, you know, little Bailey's drawn all over. It's hard sometimes. There's a comparison going on. What am I talking about? But yeah, I mean, sometimes, and sometimes I go, "Man, I wish I had that stuff." But then I realize, no way, I don't actually wish I had stuff. I have a great life. I have a great wife. I have a great family around me. I don't need stuff. I've got a great God. And at the same time, I realize, wait, God doesn't want us to build stuff here for now. God wants us to actually do something with our lives that involves leaving this place. So whatever I've got now is only temporary. And I think we need to understand that what we have, it should only be temporary. That God is going to call us to bigger things. My hope is that God will call us to bigger things. And He will, yeah? You want to be called to bigger things? That God wants to live as if we're temporary on this earth. Everything's temporary, so that we can step out and do what He's called us to do. And so these guys, they saw the obstacles and they went, "Wow, we just can't do it. We want it. We can't do it." And a bad report spread around. Number two, it stopped them moving forward. Numbers 13:31. "We can't," as they say, "we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." Big reports can stop us. Bad reports, not big reports. Take a breather. Bad reports can stop us. You know, I don't know if I've ever shared this, but like I probably have. Just after getting back, probably a couple of years ago now, we were trying to have a kid and had a bit of a miscarriage, which is actually more common than what people think. And from that miscarriage, now Lisa had to go through a whole lot of stuff, but I didn't realize that I was carrying anything from it, because as a guy, you don't go through all the physical stuff that involves, and there's a whole lot of emotional stuff that involves as well. And it only just dawned on me recently that I was carrying this thing around where, like, I don't know if I really want another kid because it means going through that hurt and all that, because we're really wanting another child. And I was just talking to Lise, and I realized out of me holding that hurt in my life is actually causing relationships around me to be hurt. And so it stopped me from moving forward. It stopped me from wanting what I feel God has given into us, and that is he's going to give us a family. He's going to give us more than just one child. And it stopped me for a long time. Because, guys, we don't think about it like, you know, like women do. You guys will sit down and you will think about that thing. We just try to put it in the corner and never, ever really face our stuff. But, yeah, I just dawned on me. And I realized, well, that's actually stopping me. It's stopping the relationships in my life. It's actually hurting it. And so sometimes when we get bad reports and sometimes when we compare ourselves with other people, it actually stops what God wants to do. It affects the things around us in a negative way. And it's never good. Well, it stopped them moving forward. They got a bad report. They couldn't go into the land. Stopped them moving forward. Number three, it made them wish they'd never started the journey. Numbers 14:3, it says, wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Now, Egypt was where they were enslaved. Not a good thing, but compared to their report and compared to what they witnessed, they went, it'd probably be better for us to be in slavery, which is rubbish. You know, and sometimes, whether it be in ministry, you know, you have those moments of wonder, you know, what if? Because it's a rough task. It doesn't matter what form of ministry you're in, you're dealing with people, and sometimes it gets rough. And you go, well, what if I didn't do this? Man, my life is so much cooler. Sometimes, not all the time. Don't do it. If you're doing it all the time, you've got some serious issues. But sometimes that's what happens. In Christian life, you know, as a Christian, we have a lot to live up to. Bible says that we have to become Christ-like, that we're on a pathway to becoming like Christ. And sometimes you might wonder, it's so much easier without Jesus. You know, all my friends are having fun, you know, they're just doing whatever they want. It looks easier. It's not, but it looks easier. Because we have to live by a whole lot of a different set of rules to the world that we live in. I don't know if you guys ever think that way. Your workplace, you know, you get that the weight of new responsibility on your shoulders, and you're like, man, I wish I'd just gone back to, you know, a little bit lower, less responsibility. You get a new family member, a little baby, and you go, wow. I can't even remember what life was like before Bailey, to be honest. I'm pretty sure it was me and Lisa for a while, but I can't remember those times. and sometimes you sit there and you've got to think back, like, oh, yeah, that's right, there was something called freedom. And sleeping in, exactly. What is sleep? You lose all that. And, you know, like, bad reports and making comparisons, they make you wish that you never started in the first place. And this is what, this is the news that these 10 spies brought. They just brought bad news and they accepted it. Not that it was true, they just went, that's it, I can't do anything. We can't beat these guys. We can't have what God has promised us. And that's a lie from the devil. And when you become like a grasshopper like these guys, when you become like them, you miss out on your God-given opportunity. You miss out on what God has placed in your hands, what he's doing in your life right now. That's gonna, you know, you're gonna find out 10 years down the track that what God began now is something big in your life 10 years later. And so you take on these bad reports and comparisons and you actually miss the opportunity of a lifetime. But two spies, what time we got? Okay, two spies brought good reports and trusted God. These guys, you'll read about them all the way through, Joshua and Caleb, two of the strongest guys that you'll probably read in the Old Testament. And Joshua and Caleb at this point in time are only about 30 years old, so they're about my age. So I recognize with their, you know, their fighting ability and stuff. I know what they go through. I know what they woke up at 8 in the morning. I know how they feel. Joshua and Caleb, about 30 years old. But there was a big difference between what these guys got and what the other guys got. What the other guys got were those bad reports and they're making comparisons. God doesn't want to live. God doesn't want us to live with bad reports. He doesn't want us to live in comparison or competing with each other. God wants us to live in the power and the unity that, you know, church is unity, right? We're brought together as a family. He wants us to live in that, in positive, blah, blah, blah. So what was the difference? Number one, they didn't make comparisons. I love this verse. No, Numbers 14:8 says, this is from Caleb, crazy guy. If the Lord is pleased with us, it's talking about he wants to go take this land. He wants to go take Canaan. I think I need a drink of water. Number 14:8. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. There was no comparison. It was just like, hey, God's got my back. I'm going to take this land. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they have. I don't care how huge they are. We're going to take this land. Thanks, mate. Champion. We're going to take this land. Don't make comparisons. I love how he says, us, us, us. He doesn't even bother about talking about them. He goes, hey, God is with us. God is with us. He's looking at himself and he's looking at God and going, yeah, I don't need what other, I don't, you know, you can be the strongest guy in the world, but be a sissy spiritually. You know, oh, I wish I had muscles. I do sometimes. I do have a bit. This arm's pretty strong. I'll arm wrestle anybody, prove it. This arm's weak, so don't touch that one. It's left. Caleb was just, let's go for it. They didn't make comparisons. We shouldn't either. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Especially within, you know, especially in the church. Luke is musical. I can't sing like Luke. I probably could never. Oh, come on. Let's be honest here. Let's be honest. I can't do what Luke does with his voice. I can't do what Luke does with his guitar yet, but I'm coming for you, buddy. It's all right. Yo, I can't do what Lisa does when she worship leads, and it's great to share whatever these are, boxes tonight with Lisa. I can't do what Lisa does. I can't get into the secret room. It's just a spare bedroom, beautiful. There's nothing secret about it. It's right next to the living room. I know where it is. Inside joke. That's all good. Secret room, third bedroom. First on the right. I can't find God the way Lisa finds God with her music and stuff. I can't do what she does. I can't do what Jess does with her amazing hairdo. I can't do that, Jess. Can't do your vet stuff either. No, it's good. I can't be friendly. You know, when I first met Jess, I just called her the huggy one because I didn't know your name. That's true, right? I just said the huggy one. This girl's freaking me out. She's hugging everybody. I don't like personal contact. Don't hug me. I can't bring what Tom brings. I can't bring what you bring. I can't do what you do because God has placed something different in my life. And we need to realize that. I can't be you. You can't be me. There's different things in your life going on. God is at work in different ways in every person's life. You know, you might join me in the missions field if that's your calling, but most people in this room won't do that. You can't do that. It's not your calling. It's not your destiny. And God has placed different things in our lives. So don't make comparisons. Don't wish you had you know, a $200,000, $300,000 job, because the reality is some of you probably aren't going to get it. But you got to work with what God... I'm just being honest, right? No, look, honesty. Like, just honest, all right? It might not happen. It could to some of us, yes. But I've got to work with what God gives me. And I've got to be happy with what God gives me. And if God wants us to live with a $10 couch and a futon that someone gave to us that's probably been spewed over and whatever's happened on it, then that's okay. I'm living with that every day. All right. Or a broken queen-size bed. That's a good one, isn't it? Beautiful. Anyway. So they didn't make comparison. Number two, shut up. Number two, they spoke. I'm not even going to defend myself. They spoke. Oh man. Hey, welcome to church. It's great. I'm not, yeah, I don't usually do this. They spoke boldly. This is number two. So they didn't make comparisons because you were different from me, I'm different from you. They spoke boldly, and I love this. Numbers 13, 13. We should go up and take the land, for we will certainly take it. We're going to do it. We should go up. You know, Aussies, where it's slack. Oh, you know, I hope it works out. Oh, yeah, I went for a job interview. I hope I get it. I'll see what happens. Yeah, it should be okay. That's rubbish language. Australians are just, we got rubbish language going on. We need to change it. You know, it will work out. God's got my back on this. You know, maybe if I don't get a job, hey, that's okay. God's got my back. He's with me. You know, maybe I don't know how to, you know, deal with pressures and things in life, but God is with me. I have the victory. I think Australians just need to learn how to get bold with their language. If God is for me, then who can be against me? No one. God is in my corner. He's with me every single step of the way. I get to speak boldly. I get to say that one day we're going to have another kid. I get to say that and believe it. I get to say that. You know, I love my brother. Absolutely. Alex is just, I absolutely love him. And when him and Beth went through something a bit similar, a lot similar. And I love Alex is talking. No, we're going to have our kid. He had all this stuff going on and all that. He said, no, we're going to have our kid. I love that. I want that type of boldness in my life. You know, I don't know what God's got planned for us 5 years from now, but man, we've got the victory. We've got it. I don't know what you're going to experience this week, but you've got this week in control because God's in your corner. You know, when you have a rough time with someone this week or someone from work or whatever, it's all right, God's in your corner. You know, if a bill comes in, you go, oh my gosh, we should turn off some lights. Who's at that moment? We should start washing our clothes out the back, actually, on the line rather than just throw them in the dryer. When a bill comes in, you go, no, it's all right. We got it. God's going to cover it. Isn't that good? It's bold words. Are we having fun tonight? Yeah, I just felt like laughing. I just feel like laughing. It's good. They didn't make comparisons. They spoke boldly. They knew they had the victory. It ties in number three. Numbers 14, 9. It says, do not be afraid of the people of the land because we will swallow them up. Oh yeah. Yeah. Do not be afraid of the people of the land because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. You have the victory. You've got it in hand. Just speak it boldly. Go with it. Proclaim it. You've got it. Isn't that good? It's great. You know, I think about my little boy a lot. I don't think there's a time of the day where I don't think about Bailey and Lisa. But like I think about him and I think about what I'd love to see in his life and the way that I'd love to see him just worshiping God and following what God has for him. And I think about that and I go, man, I've got to do a lot of things. I've got to get a lot of stuff right. You know, I talk a lot to people that have had kids and they're growing up and I'm just trying to work out discipline. Discipline is a hard topic. Yeah, I don't want to say what I do, but like, there is a lot of different ways out there and things to discipline children, and it's a headache for a parent, right? We just, you know, people, you know, can't beat your kids anymore. It's unfortunate. It's even biblical. I demand to beat my kid. No, I don't. No. At least, no. Don't beat him. Put down the rod, Peter. It's not appropriate. But it's crazy. But I just like the idea of just going, Bailey's already going to believe in God one day. He's already going to believe in God. You know, he's going to love God. He's going to love growing up with Jesus as part of his life. You know, he's going to have a tremendous impact on the world. And maybe it's speaking, like, maybe that just seems crazy, but that's what I believe for my kid. And I know it's going to happen because I've got the victory. And even though I don't totally understand this whole parenting thing and it's only been 3 years, I've got the victory. My son is going to just go nuts for God. Speak it out of your own situations. You know, you've got the victory. You know, where you are in your job right now, it's not the end. God's got bigger things for you. Come on, just come on, come on, yeah. They had the victory. I love this because we will swallow them up. My gosh. That seems weird to me, but a cannibalism going on there in Canaan. But that's all right because they had the victory. Number four, they inherited the promise. Last one. That's good. That's good. They didn't make comparisons. Don't make comparisons. You are who you are. God has made you perfectly. He's made you uniquely. You are who you are. You are unique because He's got a unique purpose for you. Yeah? Speak boldly. Know you've got the victory. Even when you can't see it, be dumb. Just be blind to everything else that's going on. No, I've got the victory. I've got it. And they inherited the promise. And I love this. Numbers 14:24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit. He's only got a different spirit because he hasn't listened to the bad reports and looked at the comparison. So if we don't do that, this is for us. So because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I'll bring him into the land he went to and his descendants will inherit it. I love that. God has given us a promise. God has given everyone in this room a unique promise for your life. God wants to bring you to Him so He can send you out to others. I don't care what you end up doing in your life, but the Great Commission is it, really. When it comes down to it, that's going to be what your life should be all about, regardless of where we are. And if we just hold on to the promise, you know, if we just hold on to the fact that God loves us, that He's got something great for each of us, you know, as a married couple, that He's got a great plan for us, more than just paying bills and trying to work out the whole family situation, but God is in the midst of it. We'll inherit the promise. We'll inherit Jesus Christ and inherit the great life that He has planned for us. You know, we're all going to encounter challenges. You know, you do it. Counter challenges in your own marriage, counter challenges with other relationships in your life. You're just going to encounter challenges, but they're not the end result. God's given us a promise. He's brought us together. I love it. I love it. And you're going to inherit it. We're going to inherit the land. So I want you guys this week, for the rest of your life, don't make a comparison. I can't be you. I don't have your skills. I've got my own unique style, as you can see. Speak boldly. Know you've got the victory and God's going to give you the promise. You're going to inherit that land. You're going to inherit what's in your heart. Isn't that good? I'm excited by that. Come on. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, you're hilarious. Sorry. Father, I thank you that you're here tonight. And Lord, I hope that you spoke and I know that you spoke tonight. Through the midst of me somehow, but that's okay, God. Lord, I really ask tonight, Lord, that we wouldn't be grasshoppers anymore, that the obstacles and the challenges that we face every day would just be little things, Lord God, that we'd just seek you, look to you only, Lord, not try to compare ourselves with other people and everything else that's going on in the world, but just look to you and find strength and boldness and just declare the victory in our own lives and in the lives of those around us, Lord God. That, Father, we would be unique, that we would be strong, that we'd be in unity together, Lord. Father, I thank you that the dreams and the passion and the vision and that all the different types of visions and passions that are on people's lives in this house right now, the words that you've spoken to them, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 5 minutes ago, God, whatever that word is, I want to thank you, Jesus, that you have given us the victory. That, Father, we will one day inherit the land. We'll inherit the promise that you've given us, Lord God. Father, I pray for boldness. I pray for strength. Father, teach us, grow us, give us your wisdom. You know, maybe today you've never come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Such a great time. I want to give you the opportunity tonight to know Jesus, to have Him in your life, to live out of conviction and to live the great life, the life that you were destined to live through Him and in Him. I want to give you that opportunity right now. If we could all pray together, it'd be up on the screen. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. Amen. Thank you.